Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast, and welcome to the latest edition of Filuminati. I'm your co-host, Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. Thank you all so much for joining us. If you're brand new to the podcast, Filuminati is a series that I do in which I take a look at some of the most popular conspiracy theories available out there. And the theories that you're going to find here on the Wait For It podcast are all going to be relatively harmless. Nothing outlandish or anything that could cause, you know, real harm out there. Like, for instance, the last episode of Filuminati I did back in January was movie and TV conspiracy theories. So keeping it fun and lighthearted. So if you're interested in hearing about more conspiracies, make sure to check out the previous episodes of Filuminati. If that doesn't necessarily interest you, make sure to check out the rest of our library. I promise there is something here for everybody. And for those of you returning listeners, welcome back. Thank you guys all so much for joining us. Super appreciative of all the support for not only the podcast in general, but also these sub-series that I do. They're a whole lot of fun. Now, as you can see in the title of this episode, we will be talking about video game conspiracies. I had a whole lot of fun talking about movies and television last time. I figured, you know what? Why don't we look at some video game ones as well? Because I found a whole lot of good ones. There could be minor spoilers, but not really. But if you are interested in the games that I'm going to be talking about, make sure to check out the show notes. But with all that being said, let's go ahead and jump right into these. And some of these are pretty well known. And one of them I found on a Reddit thread that I found really interesting. But let's start with probably one of the more popular theories, which is the Great War Theory. And that involves Pokemon. And as always, sources to all of these theories will be listed in the show notes. Now, the idea behind the Great War Theory began as a way to explain the lack of adult males in Pokemon Red and Blue, as there are comparatively few who aren't actively involved in the Pokemon League Challenge. The only exception to this seems to be the bikers on Cycling Road, several members of Team Rocket, and a handful of elderly Pokemon trainers such as Mr. Fuji, who would have been too old to be drafted into this theoretical war. This Great War Theory is also used to explain why the Pokemon world seems to be populated almost exclusively by children Pokemon trainers, and presents the idea that many of their parents, including Red's father and both of Blue's parents, may have died in the conflict. The first piece of dialogue that brought fans to the conclusion that Red and Blue were set in a post-war society was the battle against Lieutenant Surge, so far the only character in the series who is named after his military rank. Before battling with him in Vermilion City, Lieutenant Surge will say that his electric-type Pokemon helped keep him alive in the war. A historical event that isn't expanded upon until much later in the series and leaves a lot of questions unanswered. The idea of a great war in Kanto's past would also explain how a small-time criminal group such as Team Rocket managed to gain as much traction as they did, despite the presence of a police force that knew full well of their existence, since there are very few Officer Jennies in the game and nowhere near enough to deal with every grunt. With a vacuum of power, Team Rocket was easily able to infiltrate much of Kanto's society and culture without strong opposition. Aside from the pre-battle conversation with Lieutenant Surge in Pokemon Red and Blue, there is also evidence that there was a Great War in the Generation 5 games, specifically occurring during the Pokemon World Tournament that sees the return of several gym leaders from previous games, including Lieutenant Surge. The announcer of the tournament, who briefly introduces each participant, will question whether Lieutenant Surge is from the Unova region, a nod to the fact that Unova is based on New York and Surge is said to be American. Players can also find information on Unova's history indicating that the region was involved in a large-scale war sometime in the past, which may have been against the Kanto region years before the events of Red and Blue. Now, while there's no evidence against the idea of a great war in the world of Pokemon, there isn't enough information about the event to conclusively say whether it was responsible for the state of Kanto when the player is exploring the region. However, with the subsequent remakes of Generation 1 games, there have been several additions to trainer sprites and models that have added more adult males to the roster of trainers, possibly indicating that their absence wasn't necessarily the result of war. The Great War Theory also ignores the fact that several high-profile elderly trainers such as Agatha, Blaine, and Professor Oak weren't drafted into the war, since they would have been crucial assets in any conflict thanks to their expertise in training and battling with various Pokemon. Due to the close geographic nature of Kanto, Johto, and Sinnoh, which are all right next to each other, the Great War Theory also ignores the fact that these regions would likely have been involved in the conflict as well, though there is no indication that this was the case. While the prevailing theory revolves around a bloody conflict between Kanto and Unova regions, there are several other indications throughout the series that war has taken place outside of these two regions. One notable addition to this theory comes from Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, where a large portion of the Or region is not only a desolate wasteland that is vacant of most life, including a distinct lack of adults in the drafting age range, but the region is also rife with crime thanks to the evil team Cypher, who have managed to gain a strong foothold and create Shadow Lugia thanks to a lack of anyone to stop them. I remember this being one of the first video game conspiracy theories that I came across when I was younger. It makes a whole lot of sense. I do think it was just more of a design choice, but it is very strange in the Pokemon world that when you're 10 years old, you're just deemed old enough to kind of go off on your own. Maybe that's because of the lack of crime due to the Great War. Maybe it's something else, but I really like this one, even if it can be explained away. Let's move into one of my favorite game series and a favorite of this podcast, which is The Last of Us. And this one pertains to the Fireflies. Now, there are spoilers to The Last of Us Part 1 in this, so if you haven't finished that game, well, first off, go play it immediately. But also just as a heads up. And this is from a fandom user on The Last of Us Wiki, and it states, "Has anyone ever considered that the Fireflies may have had an ulterior motive for killing Ellie? This is a new idea of mine, so this theory could have a flaw that I overlooked, but I throw it out there and see what you people think. Consider this. The Fireflies are fighting the military and are losing. I theorize that Marlene and the Fireflies consider finding a vaccine for the infection their best chance, or basically their only chance, at changing the tide and making the Fireflies strong enough again to beat the military. Having the vaccine would give the Fireflies a lot of power. Maybe enough to overthrow the military, but I think that they would want to stay in power after they got it. The best way they could do that is to be the only group with the vaccine. So that means they'll have to keep Ellie a secret and make sure no one finds out what they needed to do to get the vaccine from her. But that would be difficult to do. They couldn't just let her go afterwards in case anyone finds out, goes after her and makes a vaccine themselves. So what do? They say that they have to kill her in order to get what they need from her, of course. It would be easier to defend some information than a living person, and the only way they could kill her and not be viewed as evil is if they say they had to kill her in order to make the vaccine. Not sure if the Fireflies even attempted to find another way to get what they needed from Ellie without killing her. I can see Marlene doing something like this. I mean, she's cold-hearted enough to just go ahead and kill her good friend's daughter without her consent for this vaccine. And even though Marlene raised Ellie since she was very little, she didn't seem to ever form a strong motherly bond with Ellie, and I don't think Ellie thought much of Marlene either. Ellie said that Marlene was, quote, just another friend, and when arguing with Joel after she ran away from Tommy's place, she said that everyone she cared about either died or left her, so it's plausible for her to feel that Marlene abandoned her. This is just a thought of mine, and I could be totally wrong, but again, I just thought I'd put it out there and see what people think. I can't remember what episode it was in, but I know Eric and I were discussing the world of The Last of Us. And in this post-apocalyptic world, there are really no good people. Everyone has done bad things in order to survive. And who's to say that this organization, whether it be the Fireflies, the Seraphites, or whoever it may be, wouldn't have some sort of hidden motive behind any and everything that they do? You really cannot trust anybody in the world of The Last of Us, and this theory proves that. Is it true? Possibly. I also came across another theory from the game theorists over on YouTube that stated that Joel's choice at the end of The Last of Us really didn't mean anything. And that video pointed to science because when we create vaccines, vaccines are used to fight viruses. The Cordyceps virus in The Last of Us is caused by fungus. It's a fungal infection. And we don't have vaccines for that. So was Joel's choice really much ado about nothing? It's certainly possible. Let's move on to the last few, and I'm just going to rattle off a couple of quick ones regarding Animal Crossing because I think they're really fun. Shout out to Animal Crossing, though, for getting a lot of us through the early days of the pandemic. Like, I remember furiously trying to get a Nintendo Switch Lite so I can get on Animal Crossing, having never played one before, but spending hours and hours on my island. And honestly, it was a really, really good way to just escape. So shout out to Animal Crossing. Let's take a look at some of these theories. The first theory is that the game is set in Purgatory. While Animal Crossing New Horizons may seem like a peaceful simulation game, one popular theory among fans suggests the game doesn't simulate our life, but rather our afterlife. As some fans see it, the deserted island getaway in New Horizons is actually the player's first brief stop in the afterlife, Purgatory. New Horizons begins with the player's character boarding an airplane that takes them to their new island home. There's no backstory whatsoever, and the player can't refuse the offer, leading some fans to believe this transportation represents the character traveling from the physical world to the waiting room of the afterlife. Once on the island, players must help Tom Nook turn the deserted area into a sprawling paradise. This tedious and time-consuming project is meant to distract the player's character from its own death because it hasn't reached heaven yet. To pass the time, the charming villagers surround the character to talk to while they build bridges, plant gardens, craft furniture, and much, much more. This could even explain the mundane, repetitive tasks in the game. I chose the Animal Crossing universe to do multiple of because it has like some deep-rooted dark history behind a lot of the characters. The next one I came across here is that clowns haunt the villagers at night. When the player persuades a villager staying at their campsite to move onto their island in New Horizons, they may be caught off guard by an ominous comment. Once the villager accepts the player's request to move, a current island villager will then move away. Occasionally, the campsite villager will say to the other villager was already planning to leave due to the, quote, night clowns. Some fans believe this is referring to Wisp, who's the friendly ghost who occasionally appears on the islands at night. However, Wisp is clearly a ghost and not a clown. Furthermore, on the nights Wisp does appear on the player's island, villagers will note a presence to the player rather than a night clown. But the player never comes into contact with these so-called night clowns, nor do villagers ever elaborate on it. In fact, there's no evidence of them on the island from the player's perspective whatsoever. This leads fans to believe that these night clowns are somehow only visible to animal villagers, or that they're specifically choosing to haunt them instead of the player. Either way, we'll never really know what those villagers are seeing at night. This next one is pertaining to Isabelle's possible alcohol abuse. Animal Crossing fans know Isabelle as the sweet, hardworking Shih Tzu that first debuted as the player's secretary in Animal Crossing New Leaf. But in New Horizons, Isabelle is carrying a heavier workload at Nook's company, Nook Inc., overseeing the island's appearance and branding, as well as conducting the daily announcements and summer fireworks shows. So how does the adorable Shih Tzu cope with her intense workload? Some fans are pointing to a suspicious brown drink on her desk in New Horizons as a clue. Some fans in Japan claim the ice brown drink on Isabelle's desk is barley tea, which is a popular drink in the country, whereas other fans interpret it as whiskey on the rocks. For those who believe the drink is alcoholic, this would only mean one thing: Isabelle may struggle with alcohol misuse. While this unknown drink appears on Isabelle's desk every day in New Horizons, it's not the first time she's been seen with a questionable beverage. In the mobile app, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, players can craft vacation juice, which bears an uncanny resemblance to a tropical margarita. One viral tweet even shows Isabelle getting a little tipsy after drinking one. Though the mysterious drink on her desk may never be identified, some fans still believe that one of the game's most innocent characters relies on some Jack and Coke to get her through the stress of her job, although we do hope she finds a better coping mechanism for her stress. I mean, she does work for a billionaire slumlord in Nook, so you know what? Maybe she just needs some drinks to get through the day. I totally get it. The last one I'll talk about here is New Horizons being under alien control. A disturbing message is broadcast every Saturday on all televisions in New Horizons. At precisely 3:33 a.m., an image of a small alien will appear as eerie background music begins to play. The alien will then speak in villager-like gibberish while the screen occasionally flashes to an image of a UFO. At 3:34 a.m., the broadcast is over. While some fans believe the broadcast to be a reference to the friendly aliens Dobutsu no Mori, the 2006 movie, others suspect their presence is a sign of their control over the island, pointing to the fact that the UFO that appears in the 3:33 a.m. broadcast is the same UFO players can craft via the UFO DIY recipe they can receive from Celeste. An even more disturbing clue fans reference is the time 3:33 a.m. or 3:33, half the number of the beast. Regardless, the truth behind how aliens are able to hack island televisions or their place in the Animal Crossing universe is still unsettled. And in the alt press link that I've included in the show notes of this, we'll have a tweet of the video of the alien showing up on the TV. It is very unsettling. I assume it was even more unsettling for the first person to discover this. Like just sitting in their living room in Animal Crossing watching TV and then all of a sudden this creepy broadcast came up. But anyway, guys, those are just a few video game theories I came across, and there are honestly a whole lot more, but I wanted to keep this episode relatively short just to see how you guys respond to it, because maybe it's something I can revisit just like the movie and TV conspiracy theory one, and maybe I can do it with a guest in the future. So I hope you enjoyed those. If you're brand new to the podcast, as a reminder, you can find us anywhere you're listening to your shows: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, just to name a few. If you do find yourself listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to check out the show notes for our YouTube link for all of our live streams. You can also follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram, Wait For A Podcast, and on Twitter at Wait For A Pod. And as a reminder, this Saturday, April 23rd in Kingsland, Georgia, Eric and I will be hanging out at BetaQuest 2022 with a promotional booth. We really hope to see you there. There is going to be vendors, voice actors, and it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. It's about half an hour away from the Jacksonville area, so if you have some free time on Saturday, come say hi. We'll be giving out some prizes all day. Everybody, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Filuminati and allowing me to continue to talk about weird shit. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I'm your co-host, Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. Do not ever forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday, and all you gotta do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.